now, Nevada Real Estate Radio. You'll never go wrong when you get your advice from real estate professionals that you know, like, and trust. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
You're tuned in to 93.7 FM. Thanks for tuning in to our show today. We have a good lineup of topics to discuss. Today we have a special guest coming into the studio. Sherry Hill is going to be our speaker for today, talking about registered agents. What is a registered agent and who needs them? A lot of people are thinking that maybe they should build a home because there's such a low supply of active homes for sale. We'll talk about the seven things you need to know about building a new home. And we're going to talk to the sellers in today's market. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do to get a top price for your home and get the right deal structured for your buyer to help them out too. But there are 9 deadly mistakes that many homeowners make when selling. We're going to talk about those mistakes and more after this.
Time and time again, people come to Sage International Incorporated because they experience confusion about the entity or entities they have formed either on their own or through another service provider. If you do not understand how to obtain solid liability protection, effective tax reduction, or have never given any thought to the importance of exit or estate planning issues, then the Sage Facilitator Program was designed specifically for you. To learn more, call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill today. The Sage clients enrolled in the Sage Facilitator Program have discovered that this proprietary process creates tremendous peace of mind for themselves and their families. It's time for you to stop worrying by calling 775-786-5515 to learn more so we can help you today. Call Sage International.
The most productive hour of your week. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Real estate investors from all across the country want to know what the latest is happening. And what do they do? They go to the Sherry Hill Radio Show. It's the podcast, SherryHillShow.com. Today, we actually have the Sherry Hill Show in our studio, the Wealth Protection Diva, joining us today. Welcome to the show, Sherry Hill.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm a show, Peter.
You are a real show. I'm telling. So, you know, I hear this word registered agent all the time. It's two words, registered agent. But, you know, when I first heard that word, I thought, an agent. Well, I'm an advertising agency, so I'm an agent. And then, of course, there's the travel agent. And, you know, there's the marketing agent, the business agent, agent of record. What is a registered agent, Sherry? I hear so much about that in your business.
Absolutely. So Sage International is a commercial registered agent, and every single limited liability company or corporation formed throughout the United States must have a registered agent. And what we do is we're there to receive service of process. So if somebody wants to sue you, they bring the papers to my front door, not yours.
I don't want anybody to sue me. No papers to me, no papers to you, nobody. But Sherry, I know that that happens sometimes in business. And, you know, you want to have some distance between yourself and the easy litigation sometimes. It sounds like registered agency might be the way to go.
Well, absolutely, because I've never seen a lawsuit that doesn't have timelines and deadlines. And so if you work at home, you're a home-based business, or you're someone that has a lot of clients and customers that come through your front door, do you really want a process server to show up and disrupt business and hand the papers to the secretary, who may not know what to do with them and shoves them in a drawer, or you, the owner, are out of town, you don't even know they were received? So as a registered agent, it is absolutely essential that a timely, accurate, and efficient method to get that information into the hands of the person that needs it happens on time.
Well, how do I know if my business, people are out there wondering if their business needs a registered agent?
Well, the reason that you want it, is, again, is because it gives you privacy. It's usually and always is very inexpensive. It's just one more chink in the armor of asset protection. I work with people all over the country. You're a real estate investor. You own real estate in different states. We're forming LLCs in all those states. It'd be nice to have one registered agent that can handle all 50 states. That would be us, Sage
really?
International.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now all the annual filings, all your questions, any service of process is handled by one agent, right? And so from a timeline, from people trying to, you know, free up their plate, why deal with all the annual filings in all these different states? We know when they're supposed to happen. We know what we have to collect. We know how to get the information. We know how to file it. So it gets done on time.
So if I've got a tire repair shop, Cherry Hill, and I know a lot about tires and wheels and cars, but when it comes time to dealing with my business paperwork, all the registered agent stuff that you're talking about, documents moving back and forth, I'm not sure that I could handle that because that's not my area of expertise. But I know, Sherry, that so many people in business, I hate to say this, but it's true, a lot of entrepreneurs, they're cheap. They want to try to do everything they can on themselves. They figure they'll save a nickel here, they'll save a nickel there, and then before long, they've got a dime. I mean, what is the deal? Can some people go at it on their own?
Well, there are people that serve as their own registered agent, and I've seen the disastrous results because of it.
Really?
Well, of course, give me an example. Because in order to get serve as a process, somebody has to answer the door, right? And if you're not home, or if you're away, or it's in the middle of your business, or it's after business hours or whatever, time clicks when there's lawsuits involved, right? It's deadlines. It's all those things. And so, no, I never recommend anyone be their own registered agent. Every single state has annual filing requirements. There are some states that the late filing penalties can be $500 if you don't file on time.
So your registered agent is going to keep up with all of that, because I know we're talking about potential lawsuits out there, but lawsuits don't happen to everybody. But yet, it sounds like everybody who has a business has to have a registered agent.
Well, let me give you a great example. I just took on a new client, and they're a huge electrical engineering company, and they do business in about seven states. So they came to us. We became their Nevada registered agent. She said, oh, we're registered in all these other states. I go out and look, and about 5 years ago, they converted from a corporation to an LLC. But what they had filed in all these other states was the original foreign qualifications for corporations. That company doesn't even exist anymore, yet their expectation is they're legal to do business in that state. Mm. So now, going back, and we're going to clean all that up, right? So that now they are in compliance with the state laws. They are in compliance with their business licensing, and they're in compliance with actually doing business out of the entity they're supposed to be doing business out of. If you don't know what to look for, if you don't have any idea, then guess what? One lawsuit, one problem, a good lawyer is going to go, that company doesn't even exist. Yet they're doing business in our state under a corporation when they are, in fact, an LLC.
So if you're getting sued for something else, like a slip and fall or an accident or something, and then they find out that you also are not registered properly, I mean, that can really duplicate.
Where does the liability land? That company doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I would think that the liability is going to exist on an individual.
Well, sure. So, I mean, these are all the things. It's not just, oh, we have an address and you can show up to serve papers on us. It's about the knowledge that we understand what's required in every single state, that we're able to handle all the paperwork and the documentation from initial filings to ongoing filings, and you have someone to talk to that knows what they're doing.
Cherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva from Sage International, is my guest today. Cherry, I would imagine when people call you about a particular problem, let's say it's about the registered agent, and they're chit-chatting with you about that, and they talk a little bit more about their other business dealings, other things they've got going, does it very often lead to another issue that needs to be taken care of right now, too?
Absolutely. We find all kinds of things going on. I mean, businesses change. Owners change. And so whatever you have filed at the state level needs to be updated and current with that, right? And we know enough to ask the right questions to find out what else are you doing out there? How else can we serve you? And of course, being a registered agent, we do way more than that. That's just one little piece of the service we offer.
So I'm curious as to what it takes to To become a registered agent, it's obviously you've got years and years of experience. You have to have a treasure chest of knowledge. But what does it take? What are the requirements to be a registered agent?
Well, you have to have a physical address in the state. You have to be either a company or someone over 18. And the most important thing is that you have to be available. So we have posted business hours Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So a process server knows that they can show up on our doorstep on your behalf and hand us documentation that is going to get to you in a timely fashion. So people think, well, I'll go get a P.O. box. That doesn't work. Oh, I'll bring in my best friend. I'll put him on as registered A. He has no idea. Guy travels the world, right? Mm-hmm. So it really is critical that information, and it's not just lawsuits. We get stuff in from the government, taxation authorities. We're kind of, you know, this is what people go out and look at and go, who's that company's registered agent? We know we can get to them, mm-hmm. right? So, but the good news is we don't give out the information. I never give anyone from the IRS or the state or anybody your name, number, and address. They give everything to us, and then we move it forward.
So when they're dealing with you, these servers of documents, whatever, they're dealing with the company name. They're not talking to that individual. They're not looking for that individual. They're looking for that company. And I think it offers a great level of privacy, Sherry, in that, you know, if you are the registered agent for my business in Timbuktu or wherever I am in America, it's almost like we're open all the time. There's a business that's always there ready to take care of our needs. So it's kind of like having a secondary backup to my business when I have a great registered agent. So I see there's a lot of benefits to doing that. I love the fact that you save a lot of time and efforts because, you know, I'm a small business owner too. We have a lot on our plates and we miss our mail sometimes, and I get busy in a production shoot. Next thing I know, I haven't checked my phone messages for 2 or 3 days. My mail, I mean, it can get crazy, but thank God I've got somebody to help me do that, and it sounds like a registered agent is a great partner to your business.
Absolutely. We save a lot of time because we take all that annual compliance off your plate. So typically when we're doing annuals, we're also doing minutes for our clients. We're making sure that all the information is current and updated, that we have it. And so if anything shows up, we're making sure you get it, right? But again, I'm not giving out your information to whoever's showing up. I've had people call me up and say, oh, they're with the IRS or lawyers. And it's like, I'll give you information when I get a subpoena.
Yeah.
To disclose.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have someone that understands the rules, the laws, and all of that, then they're not protecting your privacy.
Sherry, I know you told me before we started the show that a registered agent's address must be publicly accessible. Well, that means that if a small business is operating as their own registered agent, well, their personal address becomes a matter of public record. But by using a registered agent, that is all private, and somebody who's checking on your business doesn't find out about your address. Now, this might not matter much if your business is not a home-based business, but it could still make your address available to a lot of nefarious people, spammers, and so forth.
Why hand the keys to your front door to a lawyer? That's what I always say. It's like, put a wall in between you and the world, and that's your commercial registered agent. It becomes really critical if you're doing business in multiple states. It becomes super critical if you are a real estate investor and you have real estate in other states, because here again, we just had one show up today. The guy got a cease and desist on the front door of his building. He lives in a different state. The property's here. How would he know? Because someone showed up on our front door and said, hey, I've got an issue. I've got a thing going on. Can you give me the information of the owner? No, but you can give me all your information and I'll make sure the owner finds out.
That's the way to do it, Sherry. It's nice to have you on the front lines. And that way, when entrepreneurs and business owners are back a little ways, they're able to navigate the challenges that come their way, keep their business going, and always maintain confidentiality and privacy to the max when they use Sage International as their registered agent. Sherry Hill, if somebody wants to reach out to you, learn more about Sage International and your work, what's the best way?
And they can call us 775-786-5515 or go to the website sageintl.com.
Sherry Hill, that's a great piece of information for our guests. I hope you think about staying with us on our show. I want to talk to you about something else, and that's real estate investors that are moving from state to state and the challenges there. Can you do that?
I can.
We'll do that after we get back from this quick message.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com. A gratifying career as a CSA Head Start teacher or early Head Start teacher is your chance of a lifetime.
My name is Eileen O'Malley. I've been working with Head Start for about a year now. I love my job. I love my career. I love this company. Not only do I get to make a good impression with children, I also get to be involved in my community. I prefer working at CSA for multiple reasons. I have more support. I have more room for growth. And we have smaller class sizes. Visit the website at csareno.org.
Natakwa News. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa. And we're back on Nevada Real Estate Radio. Sherry Hill is my guest. She's the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Outstanding work from that company. 30 years in business. And amazingly, at the exact same location. Sherry Hill, were you not able to get a better deal on rent, or what's the deal? How'd you stay 30 years?
Because I didn't want to move my big, heavy desk.
Well, you know, the nice thing is that people know that you are there, and consistency, reliability, you know, somebody that you can count on. Boy, that is so critical in personal life. But what about your business to boot? You've got to have somebody that really, really cares about your business from the time you form it to maintaining it and watching it grow. Sherry Hill, you're the person that people reach out to in many cases because they are entrepreneurs. A lot of these entrepreneurs are real estate investors. What percentage of the work that you do would you say involves a real estate investment deal?
80%.
80%. That's you know, you're getting to that 80-20 point where, yes, that's a majority of your business. And it's a majority of our business on our radio show because even people that buy first-time homes for their primary residence, a lot of them are thinking about the investment element. Well, now we're not going to have to rent, and we're going to build equity. And, yeah, we're going to have to pay taxes and do some maintenance. But you know what? The way appreciation is going, this house is going to be worth more money in a year, two, five, ten, and then maybe I'll buy another house and another house. And there you go. That mentality is there from the very beginning. So when people start growing their real estate holdings, Sherry Hill, in today's investment environment, a lot of people are buying investment in other states. Even though they don't go to those states, they see a great deal through the internet, through their social contacts, and then now they're investing in maybe in Indiana or in Arkansas or in Texas or in New York. There are a lot of challenges when you own real estate in other states. Can you talk a little bit about those challenges?
Well, a lot of it is because you're not there. And so what's really cool, though, is there are, you know, professional property management companies all over the country that can help with that. The main key is to understand the environment and the area you're investing in, right? So what's trending in that community? Is Tesla or Amazon or semiconductor industry building a big plant there where they're going to have a lot of new employees and they're going to need housing? Are you in a place where there's bare land and you can buy that now? Hold, right? And then 2-3 years from now, guess what? A shopping center, a public storage, something that would make sense for that community. So there is so much activity going on with real estate investors right now, in spite of the interest rates and the lack of money flow and all of those, because what I'm seeing is people pooling their money together. So it's not me trying to do something on my own. It's my best friend. It's my brother. And we're pooling funds so we can go buy investment real estate.
So you have more heads in the game that way, Sherry. And I've always heard that when you have a good group of consultants, a good group of minds to work on a project, you can really come up with some great things because you don't have all your eggs in one head basket.
Right.
But there are complications with partnerships, too, and pooling your money. And I've had challenges with family deals as well. But, you know, you have to be creative in today's real estate and market. I understand that a lot of deals are happening on a cash basis. I ask myself, where is all that cash coming from suddenly? But then I remember, with the appreciation of real estate over the last few years, I would bet a lot of folks are either selling real estate to get cash to buy more property or taking out a second mortgage on a piece of property that they own free and clear to buy other real estate for cash. Does that sound like it's the way this might be happening?
Well, there's also self-directed IRAs. There's insurance products that allow you to take cash out. Mm-hmm. There's hard money. There's savings. There's all kinds of ways that people are, you know, coming together to invest. Mm-hmm. And again, if you have four or five people, the chunk isn't as large, right?
Yeah, right.
So the LLC that we would form around that partnership is what protects each partner against the other and protects the asset mm-hmm. that you're buying.
So when people are looking to buy in other states, I know that most people think, well, where can I get the lowest price? Where can I get the best bang for my money? And then, does it tie in with my lifestyle? Maybe I have family in the area, somebody I could visit in the same state where I'm considering investing in real estate. And then ultimately comes the next moment, Sherry, considering what we're going to do for retirement. And that means maybe moving to another, maybe warmer area like Arizona, Texas, Florida. What happens? What is the process? What are the challenges when, let's say, I'm a big real estate investor here in Reno, Nevada? I've got property that I own from the East Coast to the West Coast, half a dozen properties in half a dozen states. Now I'm moving to another state. How do the corporations, the LLCs, how do those all flow so that they're registered properly with me?
Well, if you're holding real estate in a state you're leaving, then that LLC stays there. Some people 1031 out. There's lots of amazing ways to do transactions somewhat like 1031s. They aren't 1031s that allow you to sell all your highly appreciated assets. You dump them into like a deferred sales trust. Now you're free to go and invest wherever else you want. If you want to reinvest in real estate, or you want to go into a REIT, or you want to buy stocks, or you don't want to do anything anymore, there are fabulous tools out there. Different show that we could drill down into some of those tools.
You know, the thing I like about all this conversation, Sherry, is that the real other alternative is just to get a job at a factory and just punch widgets all day. And you will never have to worry about registered agents or real estate investing, LLCs. It'd be pretty simple, wouldn't it?
Sure, but like me, Peter, I'm unemployable, so I had no choice but to be an entrepreneur from day one.
And, you know, I love the fact that we have factory workers. We need them because how else would the factory operate? But my hope is that people that work in factories and the people that have, let's say, routine, mundane jobs are always working and striving to become something better for themselves and for humanity. That's where entrepreneurship comes to play. I love working with entrepreneurs because they're always thinking about other ways to do things better, make things faster, earn more money. Why is it important to earn more money? Well, that's horsepower. That's how you get things done in this world. It takes money. And you can't do good for other people. You can't help others until you have some capacity. Sherry Hill helps real estate investors make more money. A lot of it is, Sherry, I know, by being more efficient and by doing things right. I heard a story once about a guy who thought about incorporating his businesses, his real estate holdings, but he thought, well, I'll maybe wait till I buy my ninth property, and then I'll do it. And then all it takes is one mix-up, one mistake, and bad things can happen. Why don't you share with us any thoughts you have on that, Sherry?
Well, that's the key. you know, if you want to build wealth, you have to understand that as soon as you have it, everybody else wants it, whether it's the IRS, an ex-spouse, a disgruntled employee, the government, environmental, whatever. And so creating true wealth is to protect it as you go, because anything can happen in any moment. Right. And it doesn't have to be something tragic, but it certainly can be something where it gets your attention, you're in court, or there's a lot of issue, drama, stress, and strife that didn't necessarily need to happen.
When I grew up, Sherry, we didn't have a lot in our family. We're not a wealthy family. We were rich in family and love. But the fact is, we had very little in possessions and very little money. It was just, we were just one of those families. But I remember when I got a little toy once, and I took real good care of that toy. I absolutely loved that toy, and I had it for a long, long time. And one day my mother was talking with me, and she says, you know, she says, I really love the way that you take care of your things, because that's how you keep things. She said, if you don't take care of things, you'll lose them, or they'll just go away. You'll lose them. You'll forget them. They'll disappear. You have to take care of the things that are important to you. Sherry, it sounds like when people talk to you about their business, about incorporation, about registered agent, they're talking about taking care of their things, of their possessions. Maybe some of the most valuable things that they have or will ever have for their family. So it's a great value that you bring to these people when they come to talk to you. I want to encourage anybody who is running a business, entrepreneur, real estate investor, or you want to become one, you need to talk to Sherry Hill from Sage International. Sherry Hill, what is the best way to reach you?
775-786-5515. Visit the website, sageintl.com, so you can see a lot of what we're doing. What I see out there is so many people go, all right, well, I'll form my LLC. And then you're talking about taking care of it. And then 2 years from now, they decide, well, I don't need it anymore. They don't formally dissolve it. They don't withdraw out of the state if they're foreign qualified. And guess what? That gives no notice to the IRS or the state or creditors or anybody that you no longer want to operate through this LLC. So if you have one, you need to maintain it. When you don't need it anymore, we need to dissolve it.
You need to do things right in this world to be successful. That's why I'm glad to know and love Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Sherry, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure.
It's a pleasure here, too. And I'll put all of your contact information on our website, NevadaRealEstateRadio.com. Make it easy for people to find you.
Natakwa News, the original, entertaining, informative, and historic publication. Natakwa News is a community newspaper with good news, history, travel, and fun. Natakwa News is delivered to the North Slopes of the Sierra Nevada throughout Nevada and California. It's a delightful experience of yesteryear. The articles are outstanding, and the illustrations bring the stories to life. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today.
Natakwa.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
Every seller wants to realize as much money as they can when they sell their home. But an asking price that is too high, it many times costs the seller more than if the price was just a little lower. If it is priced too high, realtors may not want to waste time showing that home, and interested buyers might hesitate to make an offer, feeling that it would be way too low to be considered to be a good offer. Now, overpricing a home for sale usually increases the time on the market as well, and that adds to the carrying costs. As the property becomes shop-worn and stale on the market, buyers might lose interest in it, and ultimately, or in most instances, overpriced properties are going to be selling for less than the market value. So it's really important when you're visiting with your real estate agent that the home is priced properly. If it's priced too high,
it's not going to be looked at by enough potential buyers. And, you know, the truth is, if a potential buyer sees it and they see that, wow, this value, there's so much more home there than for the money, very likely it's going to sell. If they see that the price is too high, they won't even go in and look at it. So instead of asking a high price and planning to come down later, let your realtor with experience and knowledge help you decide on the right price to start with. Pricing your home will sell, in most cases, actively and efficiently in today's market. Second most deadly mistake that people make is failing to showcase their home. You see, when buyers are shopping, they're not looking for houses. They're looking for homes. And when they buy the home in which they want to live in, they're really looking at it as a home, not a house. So, you know, you have to make it necessary to do the repairs that are needed there so they don't see that house as it being something that they're buying that's in disrepair. And you also want to do some touch-up work here and there, maybe a little paint, landscaping. Keep that home spotlessly clean during the sale process because you never know when somebody's going to drop by and take another look or show it to a friend. And, you know, you might also be chasing away potential buyers if they see that the home is not occupied by people that are good tenants, because bad tenants many times hide bad problems in a home. Let's look at the deadly mistake number three, failing to get professional help. I don't mean a psychiatrist or a psychologist, not that kind of professional. No, people are always seeking physicians, for instance, for medical care, and lawyers for legal problems, et cetera, et cetera. But many times when they take on this really big decision that, you know, involves their whole maybe life savings, they try to do it on their own. And it's because they don't understand that there are so many things they don't know. A realtor does. A licensed professional real estate expert knows, and therefore they have to do that work that is proficient for their clients. Somebody that tries to do it on their own, they don't know what they're doing. And they're going to be biting off a lot more in many cases than they can handle. Though I know some people, they're experienced in selling homes because they might be investors. Maybe they own multitude of properties. And I'm not talking to these people because they absolutely know what they're doing. I'm talking about people that are buying their first home, specifically that first home. It's important to have a licensed real estate professional. There are so many ins and outs of the business that can get you caught up, trapped, make you fall into a bad deal. I know that from experience because I was one of those persons that made the wrong decisions with professional help on my first home, and I paid dearly for those mistakes. Always get a licensed real estate professional on your side. Now, the next thing that many people struggle with when they're looking to sell a home is they're talking to people that are not really qualified to buy their home. They want to be nice to everybody and offer everybody an opportunity, but the fact is, everybody that is looking to buy a home today needs one of two things. Cash. I'm talking about all the cash. Write the money on a check, put it on a card, count out the dollar bills, whatever. I'm talking about cash buyers. One, and the other two, people are going to get mortgages. So if you are a prospective buyer, you must be pre-qualified or have cash to make that purchase. And sellers need to ask that question. If you're dealing with a real estate agent, always ask, is the buyer pre-approved for a mortgage? And if he's not, does he have the cash to make the purchase? Because if they don't, they're really not serious buyers. It's tough to ask a stranger how much they can really spend for a house and how much money they earn and how much they have to put down and their credit is good and what's their credit score and how many debts do they have, what kind of car do they drive, where were their last addresses. You see, these are the things that a mortgage lender asks a prospective borrower to purchase a home to make sure they're pre-qualified, pre-approved for a mortgage. As a home seller, private individual looking to sell a house, it's very uncomfortable to ask the prospective buyers about this. And if they are not represented by a real estate agent, it's very likely that they may not be pre-approved for a mortgage. So if you're dealing with a prospective buyer on your home that is not pre-approved, you are talking to somebody that maybe is very unlikely to purchase your home unless they have the cash. So always ask your prospective buyers, always ask the realtors who are trying to represent the buyer, is the borrower pre-approved? A realtor who is an expert in mortgages and the mortgage market can find ways for people who want to buy a home if they have the right qualifications. So always ask that question. Are you pre-approved? The next mistake that people make many times is mistake number 5, not knowing your rights and obligations. Real estate law is constantly changing, and it's really quite fluid, but it's extensive and it's always going to be complex. So the contract for sale and the purchase is truly a legally binding document. An improperly written document can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause a sale to fall through. It can cost you a lot of money in repairs, inspections, and remedies to fix defects in the home. You must be certain that which repairs must be made and paid for by you before you move forward on the sale deal. And you have to know whether the property can be legally sold as is. You need to know how deed restrictions and local zoning will affect this transaction. And if there are defects on your title of any type, or if your property is in conflict with any kind of local restriction, you and your realtor might have to remedy them, or you might have to pay a big fee, lien, duty, something like that. So you must know going in what your rights and obligations are in the real estate law. Mistake number 5 is becoming emotionally involved in the negotiations. So that's where having a professional real estate agent on your side really comes in handy, because that real estate agent has all the skills and knowledge in dealing with buyers that are looking to get that great deal, right? And they are going to be wanting to negotiate, and they're going to pull in on as many heartstrings as they can. That's what a buyer's job is. So a seller has to know what the situation is going into the transaction. There will be a lot of emotional strings trying to be pulled on you as the seller, unless you get yourself a real estate agent that does that work for you, which is what we recommend. If you're selling property, you absolutely need a licensed real estate professional that knows the market and that knows the true value of your home. And finally, knows how to interact with people and negotiate for your best benefit as the seller. The next mistake many people make is limiting the marketing and exposure of the property that is being sold. So the most obvious tools, like for sale signs and classified ads, well, they're really only moderately effective nowadays because of all of the digital world. So signage on the digital world is key. Again, we go back to that licensed real estate professional. If you've got a realtor that has a good spectrum of knowledge in marketing and an emphasis on what he needs to do to sell your home, then it's very likely that people will call on that home. But you have to ask your real estate professional, how will this property be marketed and to who? We want to make sure we reach the right potential number of potential buyers. Mistake number 7 that people make is sometimes lacking the skill to close a potential buyer. And again, this, as a seller, if you're a great salesperson and you know how to sell things and you know you're in the retail world, let's say, or you've sold other properties before, well, that you maybe don't need this real estate professional to do this for you. But I would expect that maybe 98% of the people that are selling homes across the country, they aren't in this kind of business. So you really need somebody that is skilled to close the deal. Right price, fair price for all sides, and confidence that the transaction is legal and binding. Well, we talked a lot about using a licensed professional, and that's truly important. That's really the highlight of this segment. But the fact is that sometimes people choose the wrong licensed professional for the wrong reasons. You know, there are certain people that you find out that are just getting into the real estate world because, well, maybe they lost their other job and another career, and now they're talking to their cousin, and their cousin says that they're doing pretty good in real estate, and maybe you should get in, and next thing you know, that person is calling you to handle your transaction. So, nice people we all are, and we want to be kind and give others an opportunity. But the fact is that selling your real estate is a lot like going to the doctor. You want the absolute best professional taking care of you, your property, and ultimately, really, your family, because this transaction could have a huge impact on your family and your personal life. So make sure that you're always dealing with a licensed real estate professional when you're selling real estate. Unless you're a seasoned investor and you're seasoned in the operations of licensing, titling, inspections, appraisals, water rights, flood insurance. I mean, the list goes on and on. You don't want to make a mistake. One mistake in the transaction could really change your whole feeling and outlook on real estate for the rest of your life. So do it right. Use a licensed real estate professional when selling your home. We'll be back with more after this.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
Thanks for tuning in to Nevada Real Estate Radio. We're happy to be with you this spring and enjoying all the sunshine, the beautiful flower blossoms, and the new honeybees that are all around the Truckee Meadows and northern Nevada because it's honeybee season. So I'm encouraging all homeowners to do something good for the honeybees of this world. One, do not spray bug spray or weed spray, especially do not use Roundup because that kills honeybees. Use natural products in your garden, in your yard, and support the local beekeepers of northern Nevada by buying only local honey from a local beekeeper. You want to learn about beekeeping and all the benefits of honey and the beekeeping world? Visit MasonValleyBeekeepers.org and tell them Peter sent you. A lot of people that are struggling to find ways to purchase a home, well, you know, they're thinking about all other kinds of options. They don't want to leave our beautiful area, but they want to find a home here. They just can't. So sometimes what they're doing, they're turning to a builder and talking about building a new home. I've talked to a lot of people about the world of building for many, many years, and I've heard some great, great advice. And today I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that you need to know about building a new home. So first thing to know that is when you hire a builder, when you decide to work with a builder, you're really hiring a number of people that you're not ever going to see. It's rare for a construction company that builds homes to do the entire job. In fact, a builder might have some crews which are his employees, but most of the work on your home might well be in the hands of subcontractors. And the quality of your home when it's finished depends a lot on the subcontractors your builder works with and how well he knows their standard of work. So when you're talking about a builder about building your home, you might want to ask him how many subcontractors they work with and work with on a regular basis. And you might want to ask for that list. And so you can do a little bit of background on those subcontractors. Your builder should be happy to do that. Now, when a builder is hired, you should know what kind of materials they're going to use. And they should be talking about this to you in the in introduction process of what kind of homes you're looking at. So you want to avoid surprises on the quality of your home by knowing ahead of time what kind of materials they're going to be using in the construction of your home. Now, I know a lot of builders have options on different kinds of materials, and that's great if they do, because then as you're picking those materials, you are absolutely knowing what's going into the home. But if they don't offer that, ask that question, and they should be willing to supply you with a spec sheet of all the materials that they're going to use as they build the home. Now, each material used is going to carry its own individual warranty. So the roof, for example, might have a 15 to 30 year warranty depending on the brand. And seeing actual samples is not an unreasonable expectation. So if they have a sample home, they have a model home, demo home, you want to make sure that you're getting the right material that you're seeing on the demo homes. Sometimes the details as small as the door hinges can make a big difference to the finished product. So avoid any misunderstandings and knowing what to expect beforehand. So you might want to ask them a couple of questions. You might want to ask if they can provide that spec sheet of the materials they're going to be using. And may I look at some of the samples of the, let's say, the countertops or the window blinds or something like that, right? Whatever is important to you. Understand that you can have total control of your selections if you negotiate that properly. So a builder who is willing to work with allowances might give you control of the contents of your home
as you were able to control your budget. So some builders might also, they might offer a package deal where you might be able to choose between two or three types of cabinets and fixtures for the same price. If you choose the least expensive fixture a builder might have, then the builder, he might be able to keep a little extra profit. And those allowances set for the project, like kitchen cabinets, that's where they really come into play. So you want to know a little bit about the difference between the key areas of your future home. So if you're not sure about what kind of cabinets you're going to be looking at in this new home, and you've seen some on some of the demos or spec sheets, you might want to compare with what you can see at some of the major home centers in the area, or maybe some of the furniture store areas that handle these kinds of cabinets, to make sure that you're getting exactly what you're expecting. You don't want any surprises when you get into the home and you're ready to go through that final walkthrough. You might want to make sure that they offer some kind of an allowance system, or know if they do, and that how that might or might not limit your choices. So I got into a bad deal with a builder when my first real estate purchase back in 1982. I did not do any background on the builder, and I come to find out after I moved into the home that there were issues, were some pending lawsuits against this very builder that had built my house in other parts of the city, other across town, in a couple of neighborhoods. And they were all for substandard work. And had I known that before I bought this home, I would never have purchased the home. And true to be told, a few months later, the home started to experience flooding in the basements in the crawl spaces because of an improperly installed watering pond for irrigation for the whole neighborhood. So suddenly many homes were being flooded in the crawl space. And as these homes were being flooded and there were lawsuits going against the builder, well, obviously nobody was buying homes in the area and nobody wanted to stay in the area, and the homes, many homes went for sale, and before long many homes were abandoned, and I was living in that same neighborhood. So what am I getting at? Long story short is this: do your research on the builder before you ask a builder to build a home for you. I say the same thing to people who are looking to buy a home. Like in my case back then, I should have investigated the builder that built my home before I moved into it. I was the second owner of the home. Maybe the first owner knew what was going on. Too far back to go to try to figure that one out. But regardless, now that we know things today, absolutely always check on the background of your builder. Expect a complete list of references, in fact. Those who have been through a complete building process with the builder, they're huge on giving you the kind of information, the kind of feedback you need to see if your builder is somebody you can work with. Ask them if they can supply a list of references and if there's anyone else that they work for that they would like you to do the research on. Now, some builders are finished when you sign on the dotted line, and then they move everything to other people. So you need to ask your builder if you're going to be able to stay in good contact with them all the way up to the time you move into the home. So ask them, is there any information that you need to give me now that I don't know about that is important to me? And will you share this vision of mine to see me get into this home all the way from the time we start now until the time I move in? And what about the warranty? Can you give me a warranty on that home and follow up on everything that you provide for us after we're done signing on the dotted line? That is the big key, making sure you feel good after you sign on that dotted line. If they don't give you that kind of feeling, it may be time to shop around a little bit more or just delay your project. You've got to feel good about the people in the project and the people that are involved with your whole future, your family's future. This is your home. It's a big, big deal. Now, it always comes back to the money, right? So you have to have the cash. You have to be pre-approved. But sometimes there are financing options from builders that make it even a sweeter deal if you buy a newly built home. Sometimes you get beneficial financing. Sometimes the builders have other deals with banks that give them a better deal, a better rate, a better structure, something, right? There are incentives when you build a home from builders. You want to make sure that you're asking for and getting all of those incentives. I was a mortgage lender years ago, and even back 10, 15 years ago, builders were offering incentives on bank loans that they had arranged, that they had special line of money on for people that were interested in buying new homes. They may not be available now. Some banks might not participate, but you always want to ask, are there any special financing that can help me get into this home that would allow me to move forward? So you want to ask them, are there any kinds of construction to permanent loans available where I don't have to make these huge payments up front until I move in the money? Willing to put some money down up front to get started, but you know, these big mortgage payments plus my rent where I'm at now, I can't handle. Whatever the situation is, explain it to the builder so that they can research and see if they can offer you something that can help you control the financing options. The most important parts, really, of a real estate transaction is the money. Where is it going to come from? And if I'm going to have to borrow it, what are the terms? And finally, always remember this. There's always going to be little problems that come up in the world of building. I remember talking to a gent when I lived in Arizona once who was building a home. And he told me that building a home was like nothing he had ever done. He said that he had found out when he started building his home that some people actually get a divorce during the building process because of fights between the spouses that can't decide on what color of rug to get or what kind of drapes to get, what kind of linoleum, whatever the situation is, right? Two car, three car, four car, it can get nasty. So those are the emotional issues. But there's also weather issues. There are all kinds of problems. Floods come up, nasty weather. You just never know. We have so many environments. So you have to always be proactive and communicating with the builder. The builder should tell you if there will be some problems, and he should give you some details on what those problems are, might be, and how long it's going to take to fix them. And always your builder should have a plan to handle those problems. And if he's going to be communicating with you, as he should, and you should with them, they should give you a good timetable on where those little problems come up. So always want to ask at the very end. The key is the warranty. Make sure you've got a warranty on your home, because I have found that many times new construction, when you move into a home, that's when your problems come up, right? If something wasn't connected properly, something is defective that was put in that nobody was able to test, that's when you find out. So that's one of the reasons I bought my new home, not as a new home, but I was the second owner of a new home. I figured the first owner would find the little problems that come up, get them fixed by the builder, and then when I'd move in, la-di-da. But in today's high-quality standard building process, ladies and gentlemen, I would say that most homes that today's top-quality builders complete, they are ready to move in and ready to make you a happy homeowner. If I can help you in any way making a decision on buying a home, selling a home, building a home, we have a lot of resources here at Sage International. Give us a call anytime after the show, 775-786-5515. And ask for me, Peter, on Nevada Real Estate Radio. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in as well. We're on the air again next week, same time, same station. Tell your friends and family to tune in too, and then they can make a great deal when it comes time to buy, sell, or incorporate their real estate holdings. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to Nevada Real Estate Radio with Peter Padilla. We value your listenership. Want to talk with Peter? Send an email to peter@nevadarealestateradio.com.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
There is risk in owning investment real estate in your personal name. Sage International Incorporated, a local business, has been helping new and seasoned real estate investors with their real estate investment strategy by forming LLCs, series LLCs, and corporation. Call 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Next time on the Sherry Hill Show, Dan Pilla is going to share how you can avoid a $500 a day penalty. And we're going to talk about a couple of things related to the IRS, the Corporate Transparency Act, and also the employee retention credit that's going to catch up with a lot of businesses, and they should know what's coming down the pipe. The Sherry Hill Show, Mondays, 11:30 a.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 93.7 FM. The Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.